children, we're so glad that you turned us on. The radio is broadcasting here.
You're on.
And we're so glad that you came. It's the best day of its kind because the sun is out. It might be a little cool, but the sun is out. So it's the best day of its kind.
Absolutely.
Thank you, radio station, for turning us on and helping us to broadcast this amazing service for today. We're so glad you dialed us up. It's going to be a great day.
We have gathered here this day in our worship, this being Advent 1. I don't know if any of you had New Year's Eve parties last night. I dare say nary a one, but it is a new year on the Christian calendar. And so it begins with Advent. The four Sundays preceding Christmas. Christmas, it's 15 days and it's a period of time that goes into Epiphany, takes us over to Lent, and the cycle begins again, year after year, telling the story of Jesus. We love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. So, Advent 1, and you've joined us here for the next Sundays. This radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Sandy Smith and Clyde and Phyllis Akers. Yay, Sandy, yay, Clyde and Phyllis. Thank you for the sponsorship for them. They are first timers, I believe, as a team. Thank you. December 6th is going to be by Lori Parker in memory of her mother, who had a birthday last month. December 13th will be sponsored by Robin Abbott in memory of her husband, Doug, who loved to listen to this broadcast for years before his graduation. December 20th. By our wonderful couple community sponsors in this community that no matter where they are, they listen to this broadcast or podcast. And then the last Sunday of December is Tony Gaines and Junie Avers. And that takes us over to the calendar of January, and I've got two dates already booked, January 17th and January 31st. So if you're going to sponsor January, February, please get them in. So we might be able to give you a date you wish. So here we are, Advent, our gathering hymn, O come, Emmanuel. One of the oldest, like over 1,000 years old, Christian hymn.
O come, Emmanuel.
Rejoice, Emmanuel and Jesus.
you were to see the renditions and adaptations of this hymn over that many people's lifetimes, you will see it expand to over 20 verses. I guess they had nothing else to do at church or no games pending. So we gather here in God's name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Amen.
Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. Loving and forgiving God, we confess
that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen.
People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven. You are free. Free from all that hold you back. Free to live in that peaceable realm of God. May you be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hymn of praise this day, one that the congregation has enjoyed to sing, Give Me Jesus, 4 minutes.
Thank you.
beloved hymn. We'll express it. I'll pause here. Just let you know you're hearing the music on a brand new CD player purchased by council approval and a special subcommittee, including Doug Cole, but more importantly, Brad and his son, Denver D. Terry. Thank you, men, for making this happen a reality. And I hope for you listening, it's made a difference. We've also turned off a suggestion. The transformers that the lights generate, fluorescent in our building. Without a major building renovation, we'd have to live with this because they're getting louder. So some of you have reported to me that there's humming. So we continue with worship. The salutation, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Stir up your power, Lord Jesus, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading comes from Isaiah 64, the first 9 verses. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him, who meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, Lord God, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 80 and selected verses. The antiphon is, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God. Let your light shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord, God of hosts,
how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
Let your face shine upon us,
and we shall be saved.
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one you have made so strong for yourself. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, first couple of verses. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him, you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
And before my husband reads the gospel, the first reading from Isaiah, something for you to hang on to, which is very, very short to remember for the coming week. Now consider, we are all your people. Very last line of the Isaiah reading, only because sometimes during the week, we forget. And that's a very simple line that will help us remember. Sorry.
No.
You're up.
Hey, the Spirit moves. Gospel reading for this Advent. Each year, with the change of a calendar year in the Christian calendar, we get a new gospel presentation. Last week, it was Matthew. This week, guess what the second gospel is? Quizzes, bzz, got it? Mark. So reading is from the end times, Mark's gospel, 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said, in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels. He'll gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But from the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know he is near at that very gate. So truly, I'm telling you, this generation will not pass away until all these things will have taken place. Heaven and hell will pass away. But my words will not pass away. Now about that day, or about that hour, nobody knows. Neither the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you know not the time when it will come. It's going to be like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work, commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, in the midnight, at the cock crow, at dawn, or else he will find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, and peace be with us. And keep awake for the sermon. No. Looking over the scriptures, putting things together as I like to look at the unity of the word. Let me give you a thumbnail script of each of the lessons. Then we'll go into seeing how it all fits. First reading, Isaiah 64. You got the lessons in front of you. Follow me to, as Cheryl had directed you, to be aware of we are the Lord's. To the ending of verse 7. It's one that I like to say is doom and gloom. Israel is not seeing anything happening on God's part. In fact, they're ready to blame God for their sin. You hid yourself from us, Lord, so we continued sinning. That's craziness. It kind of feels like the planet sometimes. And then verses 8 and 9. Oh, Lord, you are our Father. We still remain to be the clay. You're the potter. Shape us, mold us. We are the work of your hand, dear Father. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Make sure I'll highlight it. People of God, we are all God's people. No matter how bad the times seem, no matter how dark and dismal the future appears, through it all, we're going to make it. We are named and claimed by the highest name under heaven, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, who has made this possible. Second reading, though, gives us more hope. That was so dark and dismal. But look at Corinthians. It's hopeful. Notice how he begins the greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an upbeat. Grace, charisma, irene, peace. Those are the Greek words. Those are used to fashion a very in-depth and just a surface, superficial kind of, hey, how are you? How's it going? It's conferral, spiritual blessings upon the listener.
Except it's not like today where we say, how are you? And the automatic response is, fine.
I'm fine.
How are you? This is very direct.
Oh, it is.
And that's what makes it so personal.
And it's sacred. It's sacred. You can't do this on your own. You do it only by the power of God. And I give thanks to my God always for you. You know, here Isaiah is saying as the prophet, hey, Israel, I give thanks to God because you sin. No. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. The difference between Isaiah writing 600 BC roughly and Paul's letter roughly 60 AD, a lot of time and a lot of history. And the most important spiritual thing was the Word becoming flesh, the incarnation, the nativity, and the crucifixion. So he goes on to say, in every way you have been enriched in Christ, in speech and knowledge. Listen to your speech. Listen what you claim to know, how much it is secular and of the world, and how much of your speech as parents to your kids to your parents, because believe me, the word flows uphill and downhill. And just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Feel like that little boy standing on the corner, putting his hands into his pocket and pulling up the insides of the pocket and saying, I ain't got nothing. Well, you and I have everything. When we say we don't, we are calling God a liar, because he says, I gave it to you. What'd you do with it? I have blessed you abundantly, grace upon grace, gift upon gift. You have it. Don't waste it. Spiritual gifts have abounded for you. And the key word also is wait. That's what Advent's all about. Sometimes people call Advent the waiting season for kids. Isn't it 25 days I have to wait for Christmas? Oh, when's Christmas? Are we almost there? Wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also strengthen you to the end. When I thought about that and reflected prayerfully about that to the end, I was transported to think not only of the parousia, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullest revelation of the Son and the Word made flesh, but I was thinking, okay, it may not happen in my lifetime, but it's going to happen to me when I die. Lord, strengthen me and all who hear this broadcast, all of us who would feed at your word, through good times, bad times, hopelessness, and hopefulness. Strengthen us to our life's end by disease, by disaster, by violence, strengthen us to the end. Because we want to be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, God's faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is not weight upon your shoulders like another burden, like God, I can't bear it, I can't bear it. It's not for you to bear. It's a burden that was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who carried your load. He's the one who carries my load. He takes our prayers, our supplications, our moans and groans, Paul assures us in the epistles, and he bears them up to the heavenly throne of his Father. What can you say about the second reading? You can say it's a whole different advancement from Isaiah. Because Isaiah was giving good news. And if you look at that, you'll say, I didn't hear anything. Come to the gospel. We're going to shake the waters. Don't get complacent in your life. Okay. Mark 13. There's going to be great suffering. Some would say it's already been here, done that, lived through that, and again, cycle upon cycle, generation upon generation. The sun's going to be darkened. Cosmic, sky, global and extraterrestrial changes. The moon's not going to give out its illumination as you saw last night with the full moon. The stars will be falling from the heaven. Asteroids, comets, planets? Is that how the dinosaurs die? Which is a human theory. Powers in the heavens are going to be shaken. That's scary. Verse 26. Then they're going to see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and great glory. He'll send out angels to the furthest end of the four winds, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of heaven. Pause there. Now we come to an illustration. And I'll share with you some particular meaning for me. When the fig tree learned this lesson. Okay, fig tree, get out your botany book. Look at your plants. Fig tree, common plant in the Middle East, staple for food, figs. Some of you like figs. Some of us don't. Anyways, the fig tree. Slow growing, by the way. As its branches go out with tender shoots, it grows leaves. You know that the dawning of that tree and the maturation of the tree, it says it's summertime, right? Seasonal. Hey, agriculture. That's what the people did. That was their work, bread and butter. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he, who's he? The Son of Man is near at the very gates. Mm-hmm. Let's take that to another dimension. In 1970, the Lord was rattling my cage. One of thousands of ways he got my attention was the revelation of a new book that came out by Hal Lindsey. For those of you who are as old as me, a baby boomer, you know it was written for us and for our parents. The Late Great Planet Earth was the name of the book, Hal Lindsey. Google it if you haven't read it. Secure it if you're curious. Late Great Planet Earth came out in 1970, co-authored by Carol Carlson. Zondervan published it. In the 1970s, for a decade after its release, it was a best-selling nonfiction book on the New York Times. Crazy? A religion book? A Christian book? 1970? And it never get off a publisher's desk in 2020. His first feature on a primetime television series and became popular in the audience on television grew to 17 million viewers. Well, enough of statistics and history. The part that stirred my heart and God got my attention and woke me up awake, was the part about the fig tree, right? Understanding, Hal Lindsey would say, the fig tree is the state symbol. Whoever would have seen this? Because there was no nation of Israel until 1946. So no other generation could understand the symbol until then. Hal Lindsey says the symbol was used by Israel on their national flag. Go to your book. Go to your Google. You'll see it's true. The fig tree. Jesus says then, let's take his words, not mine, nor Hal Lindsey's, see the fig tree send out its shoots, it's growing. Hey, what's that? That's the nation Israel. The people of God promised 4,000 years ago. That's why some very conservative Christians and some of us who are totally are in alignment understand that Israel's fate is the planet's fate. Israel's enemies is, even though they're sinful, and believe me, they do things that are abominations to God. But like we know, God's love for us endures even in spite of our sin. And God made a promise to Father Abraham. Do you remember what it was? I will bless you, and by you the nations of the world shall be blessed. Genesis. So understanding that, Hal Lindsey goes on to extrapolate. When this tree sends out its shoots, know that the Lord is nearby, ready to come. And this generation will not pass away before I return. Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, two gospels, confirmation, a witness. Okay? And Lindsay comes back then and extrapolates, interprets. He understands that this generation obviously did not mean 60 AD, because that generation did pass away 1900 years ago. Rather, it's the generation of when the fig tree was planted after 1946. Any of you baby boomers? Guess whose generation this is? My generation, Cheryl's generation. So many people's generation born before 46. And certainly part of the ruling order of this nation as we leave this planet through death and graduation. But before the generation is totally clear, if LNC is correct, if people who have lived affirming that, if it is the generation post-World War II, it'll happen soon. And like Jesus says in all the Gospels, so don't try to pin it down. Lindsay couldn't put it down. Jesus couldn't pin it. Nobody knows, not even the Son of Man, but the Father. And he's holding that on a closed card, hermetically sealed, Funk and Wagnalls porch in a mayonnaise jar, I think that's how Johnny Carson said it, on the back porch. And only God knows when that will be opened. You and I, if we're still here on this planet, hold on, because the worst is definitely here to come, and evil, brokenness, frustrations will be done away with, as well as our sins. And a new and a glorious order shall resume, take over. So what's that about? Bind them all together. It may seem dark and dreary, Isaiah. It looks like it's getting better, but we're going to go through more until the day when the Lord comes. Hold on, people. Hold on, because God's grace will lift us up and raise us up to heights we cannot imagine. The God of grace, mercy, and peace be with you always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This hymn we sang the men's chorus several times. It was sung for Fern Norgren's funeral. Soon and very soon, Jim went. Loved it too when he was up here singing with us in the choir. Soon and very soon. By Silas, God bless you.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Okay. Spiritual experience. So, affirming the faith, the culmination of all times in the being of the God we name and know, we affirm. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son,
our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, lead us in prayers.
God of power and might, tear open the heavens and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. We pray for the ministry we share in Christ's name. Open our hearts to your call for justice, peace, and healing. Attune us to the needs of the world as you draw near. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for this planet in need of restoration, for devastated habitats, polluted waters, thawing ice, blazing fires, swelling floods, and long-lasting droughts. Renew the face of the earth and our relationship to it. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for all people who care for others in our community and around the world. Fill them with compassion and the power to respond with justice for those who are oppressed, with welcome for those who are excluded, and with relief for those who suffer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for people who are in crisis as the seasons change, for those without homes facing severe weather, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, and for those in poverty or facing food insecurity. Blue Water Food Depot and Habitat for Humanity, relieve their burdens, sustain their bodies, and ease their minds. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for people in our families and congregation who live with depression, anxiety, chronic pain, addiction, and other invisible illnesses, especially everyone in Michigan and other states with the COVID-19. Ease their suffering and support them when they struggle. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for the lives and witness of those who died while waiting for justice, peace, or healing. Those whose names we know and those whose names are known only to you. Sustain all who still yearn for the completion of your redeeming work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And gracious God, while we pray for all who celebrate events of birthdays, especially Shirley McClain of our congregation who had moved to Pennsylvania, having moved and gone through that separation a few years ago, and then her husband dying shortly after that, now living isolated in a nursing home with a daughter outside the doors. Gracious God, for all in our nursing homes who have events of birthdays, significant dates, anniversaries, be with them, Lord. They need our love, they need our support. So draw near to us, O God. Receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
As our Lord taught us to pray, we pray as he taught.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
This time we would receive an in-house offering. Of course, the next time we gather, it'll be on a back plate and a narthex, as we did during the evening services of Lent and evening services or midweek afternoon services, with no deacons doing that function for us. But I do want to call in your e-letter this week, you'll see the full printing of birthdays for the month of December. So this being that first week, Dan Sullier has a birthday December 2nd, Sally Sullier December 4th, Jennifer Whitmer December 5th. Next Sunday is the end of that week, but it's Brandon Mack's birthday. For all of you, we send greetings as we did for Shirley McLean. Also, in the course of events of this week, let you know, offering envelopes, you're going to see this in your e-letter. The pastor remembers to type in your e-letter. You're going to see on Tuesday, mark this down, get a pen. Tuesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Not 10:30 and not after. 11 to 1, Bill Price will be here to pass out your offering envelopes from our Savior if you're part of the in-house family. On Wednesday night, if you can't make Tuesday, be here between 5 and 7 p.m., not 4:30 and not after 8. 7, after 7. Be here 5 to 7 p.m. to pick up your envelopes. Why? It costs $5 to send a box, and it doesn't ever, rarely gets there undamaged. Usually is lost, and people say, I didn't get it. So please pick it up in person, because everything is different this year. Get that off my list. Cheryl, can you think of any other announcements?
Yeah, I believe that our food depot is always in need of assistance. I think your prayers are always welcomed. But I think, you know, let's show our support. Let's put in a few more items into a grocery bag and drop it off. I think it is something that we can do. Oh. And if you can't do that, let's say physically you cannot do it, then please take that extra step and call somebody who might be able to pick it up from you and then deliver it. Yes. You are not alone, and we are not trying to make you do something that you don't want to. But don't use the excuse that there's nobody that can do it, because there is somebody out there. You just got to call.
Thank you. Our offering hymn is, Now Thank We Owe Our God. And please check out our Facebook, Our Savior page videos with the hymns. We're averaging 3,000 to 5,000 viewings every week. We have the hymn, Now Thank We Owe Our God. Are you one of those thousands?
Oh,
God, you have created all that is, and you have provided for us in every season. Bless all that we offer, that through these gifts, the world will receive your blessing. In the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, we pray.
Amen. The creator of the stars, bless your Advent waiting. The long-expected Savior will fill you with love. The unexpected Spirit will guide your journey, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
For those who have the script, we're skipping the sending hymn because I want to get to Randy Travis. Let there be peace in the valley someday.
Go in peace. Go in. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. New equipment.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the flowers will be blooming and the grass will be green and the skies will be clear and serene. Where the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds there will ever be seen. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. And the beast from the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow.